Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the prophets when we come back. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider. An insider like John Swinton, for instance. Swinton was the guest of honor at a banquet given to him by the leaders of his craft, and someone who knew neither the press nor John Swinton offered a toast to the independent press. And Swinton outraged all of his colleagues by replying that there's no such thing at this date of world's history in America as an independent press. Now you know it and I know it. And there's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand it would never appear in print. Now, I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things. And any one of you who would be so foolish as to write your honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. And if I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper, before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. The business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. Now you know it and I know it. And what folly is this toasting of an independent press? We are, he said, the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We're the jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents and our possibilities and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. Now, you know, these rich men behind the scenes are the movers and shakers of the Global 2000 program and the New World Order. They're the men and families like the Windsors and Rockefellers, the Bushes, the Bundys, the Carnegies, and Vanderbilt. That's why I contend that it's time that we wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists, these philosophers and preachers and politicians, and let's prepare to live through and to survive this New World Order and Global 2000 insanity. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Global 2000 Bible Prophecy in this New World Order, call and order my free 4-hour contact, or it's compact disc package. Remember, it's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative, best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct at 417-273-4967. Well, not too far back, I received a letter, and it said that I was a false prophet. The guy's name was Steve, and he said, "You're a false prophet, and you're preaching another Jesus." So I looked that up in the scripture, and he's right about that, preaching another Jesus. That's mentioned in the scripture a couple times. Another gospel is mentioned 2 or 3 times, and another Jesus, I think, is mentioned once, maybe twice. And I thought, well, I didn't know that I was doing that. It kind of reminded me of that preacher in Marengo, Illinois. He says, "You're teaching all these people to lose their salvation," he said. I was teaching tax and status. I thought we were talking about income tax. He got off and thought we were talking about religion or something. He got kind of upset, and he castigated me a little bit. But Steve here, he wrote me a kind of a blistering little note here, and he said that, and he said, "You're over here preaching another Jesus." And I got to thinking about that. I says, you know, that could get kind of serious. And I'm not a preacher, number one. Never been to cemetery. Never spent any time over here getting educated and getting a degree after my name. I did read the Bible, though, once. There's 1,189 chapters in there. And I, just being, you know, normal, everyday, garden variety high school kid, you know, I read it and got to the end of it. And I figured it was kind of like a job report, you know. Sometimes a guy'll come here to school and he'll tell me that he's a prophet or that he talks to God. Or better yet, God talks to him. Now, I'm pushing 70 and God's never talked to me once. And then I get guys in here telling me that God's talking to them and telling them to do this and do that and do something else. And I think if God talked to me, you know, like he did to Moses over there, I think I'd mess my pants. Maybe it's a good thing he don't talk to me, because he'd probably scare the living hell out of me. He scared all the Israelites. In fact, he scared them so bad, they came to Moses and said, Now Moses, nothing personal here, but you go up to God and you tell him, don't talk to us no more. Yeah, we don't want to hear this. You go talk to him and you come back and report to us, but don't you let him talk to us anymore, because he just scares the living hell out of us. And so I kind of read that and I said, well, I probably wouldn't be much different than those people, you know, if he actually talked to me. Now, I'm not quite sure how this God talks to, or which God. Now, well, I got this figured. Now, there's more than one God out here. I mean, you got Allah, and that's Allah God, and then you got Buddha, that's Buddha God, and then you got Jesus, that's Jesus God, and then you get to looking here in the Old Testament, and you find that there's a Father God, then there's a Son God, you know, I mean, this is the S-O-N, and then we've got all of these pagan gods, you know, we've got Neptune, and Zeus, and Jupiter, and Baal. God, there's so many gods mentioned here in the Bible, even. And then we got secular history, and then we got the Pantheon in Greece and in Rome. I mean, these people are religious. Human beings, they're just religious guys, and they get real excited about religion. So if I came along and I was talking about the Bible, I could see where I'd be a false prophet in the eyes of most people. And that's because the God of the Bible, and just picking up the Hebrew scriptures here, you know, this God here in the Bible, he's a different cat than the normal, everyday, run-of-the-mill Jesus that you've been hearing about, you know, over Christmas and Easter and New Year's and going to church and one thing and another. That's a different guy. And so when Steve says, you're preaching another Jesus, I don't doubt that for a minute. But I deny that I'm a false prophet. In fact, I looked up the word prophet. I didn't take this just too lightly, Steve. I said, well, maybe the guy's right. Maybe I need to shape up here. So I went to a dictionary. I said, well, let's define our terms. Let's find out what the hell a prophet is. Because I never knew that I was a prophet before, let alone a false prophet. I didn't even know that I could qualify to be a prophet. So I looked it up. It's called A Dictionary of the Bible by John D. Davis, and it's put out by the Westminster Press. They got a pretty good article here on prophet, and I thought I'd share it with you. In case, you know, you've been sitting there at home, and your wife saying, you know, that guy's a false prophet. That guy's a false prophet. Now, I don't begrudge anybody, you know, coming to a conclusion like that. Because somebody's got to be a false prophet. I mean, if one guy comes over and he says this, and I come along and I say that, well, we both can't be right. So if that guy is the true prophet, then I got to be the lying, hypocritical, false prophet. And I don't talk to God. He don't talk to me. It isn't anything personal. It's just that I haven't been, you know, on my best behavior for a long time. And so I can readily understand why God wouldn't want to talk to me. I mean, after you give somebody the finger a few times, you know, and tell him to go kiss off, you know, he probably doesn't have you at the top of his list, you know, for inheritance, you know, or something like that. In fact, the only communication I've ever received from the God of the Bible was a performance report. And I did get a written report from him. It's 1,189 chapters long. And it was a bad report. I didn't like it at all. I read it, and I didn't like I didn't like what he said about me. It was a couple of things that I was really uptight about. it wasn't that he lied about me. It was that he told the truth about me, and that's what really bothered me. I mean, you know, if a guy lies about you, I can go catch him on cross-examination and expose him. And as I've told my students over the years, I said, you know, the worst thing that can happen to you in court is that your opponent comes in and tells the truth about you. Because there just isn't any recovery from that. The best thing that can happen is if he comes in and lies about you. You know, God help the guy that comes into court and lies, because a good skilled cross-examiner, you know, he has 23 tools at his disposal, 23 modalities that we have developed over the years to expose a manifest liar. So I read my performance report here in the scriptures, and he didn't lie about me. That's the thing that bothered me the most. He told the truth about me, and boy, that really exposed me. Now, Steve has an opinion. His conclusion is this guy Gordon over here, he's teaching something different than I've got in my computer between my ears. Therefore, I have the truth, and Gordon must be lying to me. Therefore, he's a false prophet. Now, that's a pretty logical conclusion, Steve. I can't fault you for that. I think that you're wrong. And I'm going to tell you why. And I'm going to tell everybody else why at the same time. So I went to the dictionary. This is a Bible dictionary under the heading prophet over here. And it tells us that a prophet is an authoritative and infallible teacher of God's will. Okay, well, that's the first sentence. I could tell you right now that I'm not an infallible teacher of God's will. All right, so now that takes me out of the prophet category. Now, I could still be a false prophet, but I can guarantee you that I ain't a prophet. And as we read through this definition, all of these prophets in the Bible, you know, guys like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and so on, these guys all were called by God himself. I mean, he talked to these guys. I mean, he walked up and said, "Hey, Dan, sit down, shut up, listen up, I'm going to tell you the story here. Write it down. Get it right." So Daniel was no stranger here to the prophetic story. He was a genuine, honest to God prophet, and God revealed to him through dreams and through personal conversations with him. I mean, Daniel had a personal conversation with Michael the Archangel. Hell, not only doesn't God talk to me, the angels don't talk to me either. I don't know if they're mad at me or what, but, you know, they just don't. I'm not sure that they even know I exist. So, you know, I'm going to decline the title of prophet. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a priest. I don't have any authority from God or anybody else. I'm just a reporter. You know, I've mentioned that a time or two. And I take various topics, various subjects, and then I research them out, and then I report on what I find. And just makes everybody mad as hell, and they don't like it. You know, I do a report on genetic modification of foods, and the people that are making the GM foods, they don't like it because I'm running their product down, and the people that I'm reporting it to, they hate it because they don't want to hear it. I mean, it's like making a report on fluoride. I mean, the people that make fluoride don't want me to tell you the truth about fluoride, and you people out there that are drinking the fluoride don't want to hear about it, because if I told you it was bad for you and you've been drinking it, it makes you look stupid because you're drinking poison. So nobody is happy with the truth. And everybody is happy with deception and lies. That's why they go to church. They go to church to be lied to, because it makes them feel good. That's why they like politics so well. Politicians are paid professional liars. And we love to listen to paid professional liars because they all tell us what we want to hear. Makes us feel good. And some guy comes along here, he's a whistleblower, says, "Let me tell you the truth about Bill Clinton. Let me tell you the truth about George Bush. Let me tell you what's going on here in the Congress." And hell, it just makes everybody mad. Makes Bill Clinton mad, makes George Bush mad, makes the congressional delegations mad, and it makes the people that elected those congressional delegations mad, because if what I'm telling you is the truth about the politicians, make you look stupid because you voted for him. The truth is about as popular as AIDS at an office Christmas party. Nobody wants to hear it. But you ought to hear it because it's good for you, and it'll solve many of your problems. And there's a few people out there that want to hear it, but not the majority. Not the majority. So first sentence that comes out of this definition here, a prophet is an authoritative and an infallible teacher of God's will. I mean, this guy's better than the Pope. Popes are infallible. But this guy is not only infallible, but he's authoritative. He is sent by God himself, live and direct. He wasn't voted in by the cardinals. Not one of these prophets in the Bible was ever voted into office. He was selected by God, and they were all hated and despised. And I can't think of any prophet that was received by the people and liked him. The people hated Moses, tried to stone him two or three times. They hated Jesus and tried to stone him two or three times. So if you had it in your head over here, you know that prophets are real popular people, and they go around telling people the truth, and the people are just swooning over and go, "Oh, Elijah, you wonderful fellow, you." No. Now they hate him. They're trying to stone him all the time. In fact, in many cases, they kill them. That's why the Messiah said, you know, you that have killed the prophets. Going on, it says, speaking of the order of prophets conceived of as a unity, God promised to raise them up from among the chosen people, qualify them by putting his words into their mouths, enable them to speak all that he commanded them, and maintain the authority of his word which they should speak, as we see in Deuteronomy 18, verses 18 and 19. All right, now there's a second qualification for prophets, and that is they're called from the chosen people. All of these prophets are Israelites. Well, can you think of an exception to that? Can you think of any Hispanic or any black African prophets? Can you think of any Asian prophets? Now, I'm sure that there's a lot of people, you know, that have their various religious ideologies. I'm just reporting from the scriptures here. This is the Hebrew Bible. Now, not all of these guys were Jews. I know the Jews, they're going to get mad at me, and they're going to say, "Well, all the prophets were Jews." No. There was a guy named Paul. He was a prophet, and Jews don't accept him at all because he's New Testament. See, but in addition to that, he was from the tribe of Benjamin. He wasn't a Jew. Moses was not a Jew. Moses was from the tribe of Levi. There were 12 tribes, 12 families of Israel. It is true there were many Jewish prophets. Many of them were descended from Judah. I don't deny that. I'm just pointing out they weren't all Jews. But none of them were black Africans, and none of them were Asians, and none of them were Hispanics, and none of them came from outside of this group of people called the chosen people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right, now I could qualify there because I'm a descendant of Abraham. I mean, I could fit in there, all right. And I could still be a false prophet because there's more to the story over here. Every prophet of God, and preeminently Christ, was like unto Moses, as we see in chapter 18 in Acts 3, verses 22-23. In similarity of endowment, of doctrine, of attitude toward the law of dietetic work, the same authoritative and representative character of the prophet is referred to by Zechariah. Words are given to the prophet by God. The words are sent by his spirit to the prophets, are given to be taught to the people, and to have been accredited in the past by their fulfillment, as we see in Zechariah 1:6 and Zechariah 7:12. It's also repeated in Nehemiah 9, verse 30. The same facts regarding the prophet are abundantly illustrated in individual instances. The prophets did not inherit the office, nor did they receive their office by any human appointment, but they were chosen, prepared, and called by God. And the call was often soul-searching, as we see in Exodus 3. In 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 20, Jeremiah 1, verses 4 through 10, and Ezekiel 1, Ezekiel 3, and verse 15. In various ways, the word of the Eternal came to them. They were commanded to proclaim it. They were accredited by signs, by the fulfillment of their predictions, and by the conformity of their teaching to the law. And God held man accountable for obedience to their word, as we see in Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 through 5, and Deuteronomy 18, verses 18 through 20. All right, now there's the qualifications of a prophet. They have to be called by God. Now, as I told you, God has never talked to me, not even once. Much less, you know, called me to be a prophet, so... So you're right about that, Steve. So I'm certainly not a true prophet. Now, there's still the question, am I a false prophet? My contention is I'm not a prophet at all. And a prophet is not only somebody who foretells the future, which is the way we typically think of a prophet, at least I do. A prophet is a guy that predicts the future. Not a Gene Dixon who's guessing, but rather somebody who has, from the authority of God himself, a message from God who is able to perform what he says he's going to perform. Gene Dixon says that California is going to fall off into the ocean. Okay, if she were to guess it correctly, then it fell off into the ocean. It's just a good guess. It's not a prophecy. You see, the prophets of old, they not only said California is going to fall off into the ocean, but they would give specific details in addition to it falling off into the ocean, you know, such as it's going to fall off into the ocean in three different time forms, you know, time number one, time number two, time number three. That's the way the prophecy came down upon Tyre, ancient Tyre. And then the prophecy is continuing, like the prophecy of Tyre, that is, that Tyre would never again be rebuilt, and it would be a place for the spreading of fishers' nets. Well, today, fishermen spread their nets over the ancient city of Tyre. It's never been rebuilt, and it came down in three waves, wave one, wave two, and wave three, over 1,500 years of time. I mean, now that's a prophecy. That's not a good guess. That's a prophecy. And furthermore, it's a continuing prophecy, because if you want to show that God doesn't exist, you just go over there and rebuild the city of Tyre. All you atheists over there, put up a buck each. I'll bet you there's enough atheists in the world to build a, you know, a fair to middle and little town on that old side of Tyre. And if you can do that, you can prove God's full of beans. All right, so the prophet had to be called. He was chosen by God. He was not elected by the people. So, you know, Franklin D. Roosevelt doesn't qualify, and Bill Clinton doesn't qualify, and George Bush doesn't qualify. And George Gordon doesn't qualify, because I've never had a conversation with God. Never came down, tapped me on the shoulder, and said, "Hey, George, here, I got a message. Go take this out and do this and such." Now, there's lots of people out here that have messages, and they're out teaching, and they're teachers. And then there's people that are reporters, and that's what I claim to be. And so they take information, and then they disseminate information. I'm not telling you anything new. I'm telling you what hell's been here forever. I'm just a reporter reporting on a subject matter tonight called prophets. So I researched it out. I took a look at what they are. And so we ought to take a look here in the Scripture, and let's read it right out of the Bible. And here's what God has to say in Deuteronomy chapter 18, starting in verse 15. He says, "The Eternal, your God, will raise up unto you a prophet from the midst of you, of your brethren, like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken." All right, so now that tells you right there that if you get a prophet and comes in here and he's a black guy from Africa, the guy's a lying, hypocritical, false prophet. How do I know that? Well, that's what God said right there. It's in Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. All prophets are going to be raised up from Israelites. So if the guy is a non-Israelite, he's a false prophet. Now, he doesn't have to be a Jew. The Jews only represent 1/12 of the family. There's a family out here, has 12 brothers. And these 12 brothers constituted the house of Israel. Judah represented the fourth brother. There was Reuben, Those are the Frenchmen. So he could be a French prophet. He could be an English prophet. He could be an American, Canadian, Australian. He could be an Icelandic, a Denmark, a German, a Swiss. I mean, there's all kinds of Israelites out there in the world, boys and girls, and he could come from any of those tribes. So if a guy came to me and he said, I'm from Sweden, and I'm a prophet sent from God, I'd be suspicious. You know, I'd be real suspicious, but he could be. But if he came from China, Japan, or South Vietnam and said that he was a prophet sent from God, I'd look at him and say, you know, I can already tell that you're a liar because the scripture says so. All prophets are going to be coming up from brethren. All right, now according to all, this is verse 16, now according to all that you desire of the eternal your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the eternal my God, neither let me see his great fire anymore, that I die not. Now remember I said, now when God talked to the people originally, I mean right there at Mount Sinai, he's standing up on top of the mountain, he says, hey boys and girls, listen up. It just scared the living hell out of everybody. And they said, we don't want to hear this. And Moses is reiterating, you know, this is over here now in Deuteronomy 18, verse 16. He reiterates, when you people said, let me, let the voice of God not talk to us anymore. Verse 17, he said, and the Eternal spoke unto me, and he said, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. Good thinking on your part, boys and girls, because if I talk to you and you don't listen up, I'm going to get really upset. If I tell Moses and Moses tells you and you don't listen, I'll really be ticked off, but I won't be quite as upset. Maybe that was his thinking there. Verse 18, he says, I'm going to raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. So here's God, now he says this second time. I'm going to raise up prophets out of the Israelites, and I'm going to put my words in their mouth, and they'll go out there and they'll tell you. So Moses is not the only prophet. There's been others. We didn't listen to Moses. We didn't listen to any of the others either. And we're not listening to them today. Although it's my observation, we'd probably be better off if we did. In verse 19, he said, then it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Now, that's pretty serious. If somebody comes along and says, I'm here to speak in the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the penalty for that is death. So I want all of you people out there to understand, Steve, everybody else, George Gordon is not coming here presuming to speak in the name of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Taint so. I didn't do that. Now, he also goes on a step further and he says, now, if some guy comes along and he presumes to speak to you in the name of some other god, the penalty is death. Now, here comes this false prophet thing. So, if I came over here and I said, now, listen, let me tell you about Confucius. Let me tell you about the prophecy of the Shintoists. Or let me tell you about the prophecy of Nostradamus over here. Then I should be taken out and stoned to death. That's the penalty. So I'm fully aware of that, and I deny that I've come here speaking to you, any of you, on behalf of any other god. I'm a reporter. I'm just reporting facts. I'm not here to tell you that you ought to do this or that you shouldn't. I might give you my opinion. You know, here's what I'm doing. Here's what I think. But, you know, in the final analysis, that's your decision to make. A reporter reports facts. Nothing more, nothing less. Just objective facts. And then, you know, if Walter Cronkite came out and said, well, here's what I think. You know, if Dan Rather comes up and says, well, my opinion is. You know, he's entitled to an opinion. I think he ought to say, well, this is my opinion. This is divorced from fact. You know, I'm not here to report facts. I'm here to report, here's what I think these facts tell me. Here's what I'm going to do based upon these facts. I do that from time to time. I do give you my opinion. But I deny that I've come in here, by the authority of some other god and said to you that you ought to follow Nostradamus or you ought to follow somebody else. My conclusion is I think we ought to follow this guy here, this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I don't have any authority from God to come here and tell you, you need to do this because I'm telling you because I'm sent by Jesus. Jesus never sent me to do jack diddly squat. And so I'll just tell you right up front that. All right, with that in mind so far, let's give you a mid-course reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. So for more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. And the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. It's just one dot in there, georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're making a report tonight on profits. I'm not talking about the Dow Jones Industrial Average and your profits that you're making off of all those stocks and bonds that you own over there, but I'm talking about profits. The predictors of the future, the prophets that are sent by the living God. Now, this God over here tells you that there are also false prophets. False prophets. And besides heathen prophets who spoke in the name of an idol. Well, we just saw that in Deuteronomy 18, verse 20. In 1 Kings 18, verse 19, in Jeremiah 2, verse 8, and in Jeremiah 23, verse 13, there were also false prophets who spoke in the Jehovah's name. Now, they're using the word Jehovah here. I don't know if the guy's a Jehovah's Witness or not, but I'm going to underline it. I'm going to use the word Creator in the Creator's name. In Jeremiah 23:16 through 32, they were of two classes. First, there were conscious imposters enticed to claim the gift by the consideration and influence which true prophets enjoyed and courted on account of their smooth words. That's also reported in Scripture in 1 Kings 22, verses 5 through 28, in Ezekiel 13, verses 17 and 19, in Micah 3, verse 11, and in Zechariah 13, verse 4. And probably, secondly, there were sincere and even godly men whose doctrine might be based on the law of God, but who were self-deceived in that they had not been called to the prophetic office by God, and they were not infallible religious guides. Tests were therefore established for distinguishing the true from the false. All right. So there are tests given here in the Scripture so that you can determine whether or not George Gordon is, one, a prophet, two, a false prophet, So there's a test, and I'm going to give you that test here in a minute. All right, so number one, I'm not a prophet at all. I deny that I'm a false prophet. And that's because I'm not here to spout off about God and say, well, you know, you need to follow me like religious guys do. Or you need to send your tithes, you know, to Post Office Box 297. You know, I've never asked you people for a dime. Not a dime. In fact, sometimes people will call here and they'll say, well, Mr. Gordon, I really like what you're saying, and I'm going to send my tithes to you. And I've told them, don't do that. I'm not a Levite. The only person on planet Earth who can receive a tithe from you is a Levite. Levites are the guys that collect tithes. Not preachers, not politicians, you know, not religious and holy men. They don't do that. Now, it is true that if you are a person in need, like a widow and an orphan, you could receive a tithe, but you're not entitled to the tithe. Levites are entitled to it by law. And so I'm not poor, so I don't qualify for the tithe because I'm poor, and I'm not a Levite, and so I don't have any authority to take the tithe. So I, you know, if you want to send a free will offering, you know, if you want to send money and support our radio program, that's fine. That's fine. But don't send a dollar and say, well, this is my tithe, and I'm going to tithe to you, because that's dead wrong. So that's number one. Now, most people that are religious and collecting tithes, or most people that collect or claim that they are prophets, you know, have a monetary interest. And I got a monetary interest, but it's not from tithing, and it's not from prophecy. I don't make any money trying to predict the future. In fact, my prophecies are so bad, I'd have a hard time predicting rain on a cloudy day. So you probably don't want to listen much to my prophecies. Now, from time to time, I do come up with a conclusion based upon history. For instance, I took a look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and I think I reported on that to you here some time back, probably in our archives. And here's what I discovered. I found out that if you had invested $10,000 in the Dow Jones in say, January 1960, and then in January of 2000 you cashed it out, you'd have made $72,000. I mean, your $10,000 would grow to $72,000. Because the average growth of the Dow Jones Industrial Board, or the Dow Jones Industrial Average stocks, 30 of them, from 1960 to 2000 grew by 5% a year, compounded for 40 years, would total 72,000 and some change. Then I worked out the numbers and I said, well, what was the inflation rate? And the official inflation rate was 4.7% average for the whole period, which they lie about constantly. It was higher than 4.7. I don't know how much higher, but it was higher, because they lie to us, always have, are now, and I expect always will. Politicians are liars, are paid professional liars, just like preachers are paid professional liars. It's part and parcel with the job description. And then I figured by the time you paid the taxes, you know, which is 28% of your capital gains, you would have lost money. So now, on the one hand, you know, the people that are selling stocks, they're mad at me now because George Gordon's running stocks down. You know, I'm not running stocks down. I don't care if you buy stocks or not. My report was, if you bought stocks, the Dow Jones Industrials, from 1960 to 2000, you lost money. Now, somebody's going to say, well, but how could I lose money if I went from 10,000 to 72? Because inflation destroyed your purchasing power, so the 72,000 bought less than 10,000 did in 1960. That's how that works. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, when I first started work, I made $250 a month in board and room. And, you know, that's $3,000 a year in money. You know, today, $3,000. I had a guy in here the other day. Came through school. Well, he wasn't in school. He came by the school. And the guy makes $86 an hour. I was really impressed. I'll do the numbers for you right here. It's $86 times 2,000 hours in a working year. My God, that's $172,000 a year. Am I right? 2,000 hours in a working year. 2,000 times the guy works for Lockheed. He makes $86 an hour. That's $172,000 a year. When I started work, I made $3,000 a year. And I saved half of it, $1,500. In silver dollars. I mean, I had the silver dollars right there in my grubby little fist. Now, the reason this guy's making $172,000 a year is because he has to have $172,000 in order to pay his taxes and mortgage and all the things that go, you know, with life, in order to equal what I was making when I was a kid. Now, probably at that time that might equal, say, $10,000 a year. Maybe I wasn't making top dollar, but moral to the story is, you know, I had more purchasing power in 1955 than you people with a dollar than you people do today with a dollar. All right. So now with that out of the way, let's take a look at a couple of more little factors over here. Tests were therefore established for distinguishing the true prophet from the false prophet. The true prophet was recognized by signs that we see in Exodus 4, verse 8, Isaiah 7, verses 11 and 14. But signs alone were not sufficient, for they might occasionally come to pass accidentally or be wrought by artifice. So in Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 and 2, and in Exodus 7, verses 11 and 22, and in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, by the fulfillment of his predictions and his credential gains, or this credential gains in evidencing power as time goes on, and the historic events and developments take place which the prophets foretold of old. By this, or by his teaching, in Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5, and Isaiah 8, verse 20, if the doctrine taught by the claimant of a call from God led men away from the Ten Commandments, the speaker was manifestly not a man of God. Okay, let's pause there for a moment. You know, I have espoused the Ten Commandments repeatedly. I've said I think that the Ten Commandments, not nine or eight or seven, but all ten of them, are a good guide and a good program. Now, all prophets that are sent by God are going to tell you that the Ten Commandments are good for you. But that does not make them a prophet. Just because I come to you and I say, I think the Ten Commandments are pretty good, doesn't make me a prophet. But if any prophet comes to you and says, you don't have to practice the Ten Commandments, you can practice 9, 8, or 7, he's a manifest liar. And then I cited the scriptures. Now, I'm not going to read every scripture here, but I'm going to cite them. And you can go back over this disc, and you can stop it, and then you can write it down, and you can go check it out for yourself. My job here is to make a report, not to prove that I'm right. I'm not here to tell you that I'm correct and Steve is incorrect. It's irrelevant to me. I don't care whether you believe me or don't believe me. I don't get paid based upon who believes my report. That's preposterous. I make reports. I get paid for making reports. That's what I'm doing. I'm making a report. My report is on profits. Now, one listener wrote in, he's not the only guy, by the way, every once in a while, not too often, but, you know, every once in a while, some guy writes me a letter. He says, hey, you know, I think you're a lying bag of hot gas. I think you're just full of, you know, bull manure right up to your eyebrows. You know, I get letters like that from time to time. And then I get letters that say, my God, Mr. Gordon, you must walk on water. Well, I can assure you that I don't walk on water. I already reported to you. God doesn't even talk to me, much less hold me up when I walk on water. I mean, I'd have to have 3 feet of ice before I'd even go out there on the pond. You know, just to make sure that I could get across from one side to the other. I got to have lots of ice under me. It's got to be cold water for me to walk on water. I can do it, but I got to have, you know, lots of ice. No, I'm not here to report to you that I'm a prophet. I've already reported I'm not. I don't qualify. I don't have the credentials. I don't have the experience. I don't have the authority. Now, there's a couple of prophets that are spoken of here yet to come. Here in Revelation chapter 11, you might jot that one down, Revelation chapter 11, there are two witnesses coming. Two witnesses. And these two witnesses, these two prophets, are going to make some predictions. And they're going to have authority. They're going to come from God, the Creator. I'm not talking about Satan and Baal and somebody else. Now, Satan has some prophets. Satan is a god. Satan has some ability to prophesy. Satan's ministers, Satan's or Lucifer's ministers, they're going to call fire down from heaven. They can do miracles. You know, every once in a while, a prophet would actually do a miracle, although John the Baptist never did a miracle. Did you know that? John the Baptist never raised anybody from the dead. Now, Elijah did. There was a little boy that died, and Elijah raised the little boy from the dead. You know, for a human being to raise somebody from the dead requires something more than the normal, ordinary, average Joe Sixpack has in his body or in his capacity. The Apostle Peter raised one guy from the dead, and Paul raised one guy from the dead. Jesus raised five from the dead. Not very many. If you stop and think about it, how many people have been raised from the dead in the history of mankind? Raised from the dead back to physical life. And the answer is less than 10, as I can recall. The Messiah did five. Paul did one. Some guy fell out of a building three or four stories and killed him. They went down and he laid hands on him and raised him from the dead. Peter did it. It seemed to me it was a little girl, if I remember right. That's two. And Jesus did five. He did a little girl, he did Lazarus, and he did, you know, a couple, three others. It seemed to me it was five. Now that's seven. Elijah raised one. That's eight. Can you think of any others that were raised from the dead throughout the scripture, throughout history? You know, it's not very many. Now, the people that did that were all prophets. They were used by God, talked. You know, God talked to Paul live and direct, struck him blind, you know. I mean, that guy had a direct connection with the Creator himself. He said, "Hey, why are you persecuting me, Paul? You know, why have you got a bug up your hiney, Paul? I'm getting a little ticked off, Paul." And so, Paul, you know, he was a religious guy from the get-go. He was a Pharisee. You know, today we'd call him a Southern Baptist, you know, but he was a real zealous, you know, get-with-it type of guy. And he was out here, you know, preaching his religion, probably knocking on doors and asking people if they knew Jesus or, you know, if they knew Moses or somebody. And they got real excited about it. Well, later on, Paul became a prophet. I mean, that guy set down some prophecies. He said, here's some things that are going to happen in the future that are in the process of happening right now. And so old Paul, I think he was a pretty credible prophet. Moses was a prophet. Jesus was a prophet. Peter, Paul, James, John were all prophets. And they wrote some prophetic stories in the scripture by the hand of God. I mean, these guys were real prophets. And I'm not making any such claim as that. I use the Bible from time to time to illustrate a point politically or economically. I've said, you know, this law here in the Bible, I think is a pretty good law. And I've expounded on those, but I'm not. That doesn't make me a preacher. And I'm not dependent upon your tithes or your offerings or anything else. You know, you don't have to listen. You can turn the radio dial right now. You can shut me off anytime you want. You won't offend me. I don't get paid, you know, for making you feel good. I don't. My income does not depend upon whether you listen to me or not. You can turn the radio off. But when somebody writes me a letter and they say, "Hey, I think you're a lying hypocrite and a false prophet," well, I take that kind of personal. Like, and I said, "Well, wait a minute. This guy could be right. You know, the guy could be telling me the truth." I looked in the Bible one time, and I read the whole thing. And I just wanted to tell you, I read the whole report. I got a bad report. You don't have to send me a bad report, Steve, and tell me how bad I am. I got the bad report from God himself. He sent me this report, and he said, you know, Gordon, if you don't shape up, I'm going to kill you. And I mean, it was a bad job report. And he said to me, pretty live and direct, you know, he said, no, if you don't straighten out and get your act cleaned up over here, there's going to be some bad consequences. I saw that part of the report. I don't deny it. And so because of that, I got real religious real fast, and I said, well, I guess I better quit giving him the finger. That's why I quit practicing communism. I said, you know, this communist thing has gone about far enough. I used to use credit cards and paper money. I took a look here at the report, and it said, don't use unjust weights and balances, Gordon. And I said, oh, yeah, that's right. Well, now I know that. And so I stopped doing that. And it's my personal opinion that you'll do better if you use gold and silver than you will if you use Federal Reserve notes and English pound notes, you know. But, you know, it's your choice to make in life. Go ahead and make your choice. Now, there's another thing in here about prophets. Did you know that there are girl prophets as well? Yeah, listen to this. A woman called of God to the prophetic office. Miriam was a prophetess. And you'll read that in Exodus 15, verses 20 and 21. Numbers 12, verse 2. And Micah 6, verse 4. So there was a woman by the name of Miriam who was a prophetess. That's a female prophet. That Miriam was Moses' sister. Moses was a prophet, and Moses' sister was a prophet. Moses' mommy and daddy, they weren't prophets. They were just people. And we noticed here in the definition from the scripture, now, I'm taking this all out of the King James Version of the Bible. I didn't get this from the Pope. I didn't get it from the Southern Baptist Conference. I didn't get it from Salt Lake City. I just got it right out of the scripture. My report is from the scripture. So if you accept the scripture, well, then you're getting a pretty accurate report. If you don't accept the scripture, well, then you know you get your report from your sources of information. My source of information here is the scripture. There was a woman named Miriam. She was a prophetess. She's reported here 1, 2, 3 times. There was a woman by the name of Deborah who is reported in Judges chapter 4, verse 4. The Israelites resorted to Deborah for judgment. She not only was a prophetess, she was also a judge in Israel. And the Eternal revealed his will through her to the nation in verses 5, 6, and 14 of Judges chapter 4. There was another woman by the name of Huldah, H-U-L-D-A-H, and she was consulted by the high priest at the command of the king in regard to the teaching of Deuteronomy, and she declared the counsel for the Eternal in 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 12 through 20. Her name is Huldah, H-U-L-D-A-H. Then there were 4 virgin daughters of Philip the Evangelist who prophesied in Acts 21 verse 9. And a prophet's wife is, or as is probably meant in Isaiah 8 verse 3. Now there's about 5 or 6, there's 4 daughters, and there's 3 prophetesses that are identified in the scripture. That's 7. And then a prophet's wife, possibly 8. And there are not very many prophetesses in the Bible. Only 8. But then there's not a whole lot of prophets in the Bible either. There are only 26 writers of the entire scripture. 26. That's it. And not all of those writers of the scripture were prophets. You know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke wrote some prophetic events or wrote of some prophecy, but they themselves were not prophets and are not described in the Bible as being prophets. Although Matthew 24 is a very prophetic story, the prophecy came from Jesus, and it was a report by Matthew of a prophecy that was spoken by Jesus, who was a prophet. So when George Gordon comes along and says, let me read to you Matthew 24, I'm a reporter. Matthew, Mark, and Luke were reporters. Now, John wrote a gospel. John also wrote some prophecies in his letters, which is 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. John was a real prophet. John wrote the book of Revelation. He was used by God to make some predictions. He said that there's going to come two prophets called witnesses, two witnesses, the two witnesses of Revelation 11. And so John, even by himself, was a prophet. Matthew, Mark, and Luke weren't. So, Esther, there's a book called Esther. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, you know, whoever wrote Ruth, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and 1st and 2nd Samuel. Now, Samuel was a prophet. David, he wrote the Psalms. Solomon wrote Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, but they weren't prophets. They weren't used as prophets. They were writers. They wrote history. And they were good writers. They were part and parcel with writing scripture. But not everybody that writes in the scripture now is a prophet. But many of them were. And probably twice as many as there were prophetesses. And they were much more significant. Isaiah is much more significant than is Miriam or Huldah or George Gordon, for that matter. And so George Gordon is not a false prophet, and he's not a true prophet. And that's because he's just not a prophet at all. Any more than Matthew, Mark, or Luke were prophets. They were reporters. I'm a reporter. They reported on the scripture. They probably reported on secular events also, which is what I do a great deal of the time. I review books, and I review the scriptures, or I review news articles and things like that, and I report them. But that doesn't make me a prophet, either false or true. So, I think, Steve, that I'm not a prophet at all. Zero. Zilch. Now, if at some time in the future God taps me on the shoulder and says, hey, Gordon, I got a message for you, Steve, you'll be the first to know. I'll report it right here on the air. Last night, God talked to me. But until that happens, you know, I'm just Joe Sixpack out here doing my job, doing my thing in life, trying to delineate between truth and error and then make a reasonable report on that. Hey, I'm about out of time, so I'm going to have to cut it off right there. We'll pick it up right here next time, talking about prophets, and I'll show you what true prophets and false prophets are as we progress. Meanwhile, you have been listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, that just about does it up for this program. Let me remind you that you've been listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review. We'll see you back here next time, right here, God willing. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.